back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. I'm Jay Probs.
And I'm Dr. Cash.
And today we're bringing you another breakdown of the day in sports. And we're going to start off with the big news in NBA basketball. Bradley Beal on the move from Washington Wizards to the Phoenix Suns. Just to give you guys all the full trade details, the Suns received Bradley Beal, and the Wizards in return got Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, and multiple second-round picks and pick swaps. So we're yet to see the full details of those picks, but yeah, it's basically the Wizards gave up Beal for Landry Shamet and Chris Paul, who they're reported to be waiving soon. Does this make Phoenix the favorites in the West, Dr. Cash?
I don't think so.
And no?
I think, yeah, Beal's obviously a player who can be all-star caliber. He's been an all-star, I believe, once. Mm-hmm. And he's a great scorer. But I think what many people have come to realize with this Phoenix team is now they have no bench. And as they've decided here to take on Bradley Beal's contract, just the four, including Durant, Booker, Ayton, and Beal, just those four contracts go over the luxury tax limit, which I believe is around $164 million. And I don't think they're going to be able to sign any quality free agents to strengthen up that bench, which really will hurt them in the playoffs, which, as we saw this year, after Booker and KD were unable to get going, they couldn't rely on their bench at all. And then for me, from the Wizards' perspective, I think, yeah, obviously for Chris Paul, it's best to go to a team competing for a championship. But, I mean, I would not mind seeing that Kristaps Porzingis pick and roll all day, because I think that could be one of the best duos. Best pick and roll duos.
I think Washington is definitely hitting the factory reset button here. Starting that tank. They have a few promising prospects, but yeah, they're definitely just hitting that tank button. And for Phoenix, like you said, the bench is just going to be dry, because you thought when the reports came in that Phoenix was going to waive CP3, that was going to open up space. Oh, you get solid 3-and-D players, maybe a solid vet point guard. But I mean, now you have Bradley Beal. And I think it just, like you said, I mean, those three combined, KD, D-Book, and Beal, combined for 80 points average last season. But I mean, I doubt that they could put up numbers like that on the same team. But I think we're going to see how they play together. But also, what question that was interesting for me was the prospect of having an actual point guard. Because if you look at it, both D-Book and Bradley Beal play best as shooting guards. So is that something, are you running both of those guys on the wings and then you get someone like D-Lo for on like the vet minimum? Or do you have D-Book or Beal bring out the point guard? And I think that's a pretty big question to be had. And with new coaches coming in after firing Monty Williams, I think it's an interesting question to be had to see how that all pans out.
Yeah, because obviously, like you said, those two, Beal and Booker, are maximized. Their potential is maximized when they're playing shooting guard. And this free agent class is really strong, especially in the point guard position, but there's no way that
they can't pay
Phoenix,
someone.
Yeah, Phoenix, I don't even know if they'd be able to afford D'Lo, but, you know, yeah. I feel like you could go for a Schroeder, you could go for I don't even know, maybe Dennis Smith, Shake Milton's available, because that's who they're going to have to settle for, because financially it's just that bad for them. Obviously, they have loads of talent, but, you know, they can't, I don't know if they're going to be able to pay a top quality point guard, you know, maybe sneak in Gabe Vincent, but I think he's going to be receiving a pretty big payday after his playoff performances.
Exactly. And it closes the playoff window, because you are committing so much to Bradley Beal, who we have not seen yet have any kind of playoff success. But you're committing that capital to this team right now, and you don't have any future really. you don't have any money to really invest in the future. And it, I don't know. I've just never seen this prospect or this way of building a team work. I don't know. I just feel like it's, in order to win championships, you need to have a bench. You need to have, you can't just have four players, or I mean, I don't even know if you can put Ayton in that list, but you can't have three players carrying the entire team every single game of a 7-game series. Like, it's just not possible.
Yeah, and like you, like, yeah, and being able to, especially in the second semifinals and in the conference finals, when you go up against teams who have those quality starters and even an even deeper bench, that's where Phoenix is going to run into problems. And they, yeah, that just happened this year, and they didn't address it.
Yeah, and we saw the model work for Denver. They had Jokic, they had Jamal Murray, who are two of the best players, two stars. And when you look at Phoenix, they have that KD D-book. But then Denver has quality role players who, mind you, they're still playing Michael Porter Jr., big bucks. They're still paying Aaron Gordon. But they also have the money to pay guys like Bruce Brown, KCP, and you can find guys like Christian Brown to fill out your bench. And I think that's the team building part of building a champion that just I do not see in Phoenix right now.
Yeah, and I think that front office is going to have to do some major restructuring here, because these are some of the biggest contracts in the league, and having four crazy contracts is just, it's crazy. It's something we've never seen before. But I think
exactly
what raised my eyes seeing this trade was from the Washington side of view, point of view. I think could have gotten a lot more. I get Beal's contract is pretty hefty, and that he had that no trade clause, which basically says he chooses where he plays.
Yeah,
I think that Washington still could have got a better deal from Phoenix. Like, come on, you're waiving Chris Paul, so you got Bradley Beal for Landry Shamet in second round picks. To me, that's just a terrible job by the front office.
Yeah, I agree with you, but at the same time, there's not much leverage you have in that situation, and it's, I feel like at this point they're like, get what we can for him. He's given us whatever 7 years of productive play, been the only reason someone would watch the Washington Wizards. But yeah, I guess at this point, cut your losses and just hit that tank button. I mean, they might have a few pieces to flip, Avia, Corey Kispert, but
Porzingis. I think those two, the first two, are part of the rebuild, honestly.
Yeah, I could see that, but yeah, I think they were in a bad position to start with that Beal contract, and now they just kind of have to reset and have to go back to the draft and get away from that contract and find some other way to build a team. But yeah, I think that's probably the biggest NBA news we're going to get for a while, until possibly some kind of Miami Heat trade. Because they might be going there. But moving on, we have the CONCACAF Nations League final. United States beating Canada 2-0. Pretty dominant in that first half. I don't know if you watched the entire game, but they looked good. USA looked good. Balogun looked good. He had a really nice goal. But yeah. Do you think this is my question to you is, do you think United States are the best team in CONCACAF in this North America, Central America region?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this past weekend just proved it. They beat the other two top teams in that North American region. And I think roster wise they have the best team, because when you look at Mexico, they're losing a lot of veterans, a lot of older guys starting to retire, and they gotta have those guys step up, and they just let go of their coach, I believe, after the World Cup, and they're just a really thin team on paper. Like if one player gets injured in that midfield, They're pretty much screwed in, and it showed in that United States game. But from the U.S., from today's final, yeah, they completely dominated out of the gate, and it was a problem for Canada, especially. It's been an ongoing problem since that World Cup, when they go up against teams of quality near them, maybe slightly above them. They tend to fold, and they hoard possession, but they don't do anything with it. There's no end product. Yeah. And I think that with Jonathan David up front, that spark needs to come, and it has to come quick, because U.S. scored in 12 minutes, and it kind of deflated Canada from there.
Exactly. And I think, like you said, that both the Canadian team and Mexican team are thin on paper, and just they are thin. I mean, you look at them, they do have stars, Lozano, Mexico, and then Davies, Jonathan David, but they just don't have really much else. And you look at America, they have quality players all across the field. And I would just add here, Gio Reyna, I feel like, played really good. He had man of the match. He played really good, and I'm super excited to see a midfield. I mean, I don't know where he's going to be playing, wing, attacking midfield, wherever, but he just looks exciting, and I think he's going to be really good. But like you said, I think I have to agree with you. I think United States is the best team in this region, and it's just, and they're so young that it's, they're just going to keep getting better, which is super exciting for any American fan.
Yeah, I think obviously from a future perspective, now with the addition of Balogun,
good.
And you have Timothy Weah, got Yunus Musah, and like you said, Gio Reyna, who obviously I think for me would be most effective at CAM, but he's shown that he can play basically anywhere in the front, first or second line. But
yeah,
I think the man that obviously will hold this team together is Christian Pulisic, who is the top player still for me right now, even after that struggling season he had at Chelsea this past year. I think he's what's going to hold this team together and be able to win them some big games, because that's what this team is about. You know, they have to win the big games come World Cup time, because that's their time to show to the world that they're legit. And I think with that addition of Fowler and Balogun, it's going to be great. And I think it's also going to be great for American fans to be able to watch Balogun with Pulisic in the Premier League. Now you have yet another talent to keep your eyes on.
Yeah, for sure. I think just to finish up that point, I think Balogun, I was watching the game, and when he scored that goal and when he's just being active, that's the kind of number nine we need. And we've gotten that a few, like we've seen flashes from Pepe, and we from Ferreira, but I just think he is the complete deal. We've seen him do it in Europe, and I'm feel like he can really unlock this American team, because when you looked at them before, that was where their weakness was, a number nine, and now they have one, and he's starting to shine, and it's looking really nice.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the U.S. perfectly addressed the hole that they had in that team. And as long as Balogun continues to develop, which might be at Arsenal, or Arsenal might sell him and he might find himself starting for another club.
Yeah,
it's going to be exciting to track his progress, because he's so young and he just has a lot of upside to him. And, you know, just being able to take a country like the United States to win them big games, it would just be huge for his career and ultimately his legacy.
Yeah, quick shout out before we move on to BJ Callahan, interim coach. I think he should get a lot of props for the way he handled the situation, and then also went out and beat both Mexico and Canada to win. But that's it for these kind of quick. We're going to just give you guys some quick headlines. First off, in the U.S. Open, Wyndham Clark wins his first career major by one stroke. Super impressive. I think, as not a huge golf fan myself, I would have to say it's still, I still know the importance of winning U.S. Open, how big that can be for anyone's career. But yeah, congratulations to him. And I think golf, in a lot of controversy right now, but I feel like just it's important. I feel like just to watch the sport and then, you know, think about the controversy as well, because that's always interesting. Mm-hmm. And we also got some other news. Lou Williams retiring from NBA basketball. Arguably one of the greatest six men in the league in history. I still remember his time at Houston. Such a great player, man. I love that guy. But he's had a heck of a career. But that's all we have for this podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to keep listening. We post these daily. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you guys are on social media. We are. And peace.